Community Voices with Ron Holland.
In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting.
Community Voices with Ron Holland.
Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart.
Community Voices with Ron Holland. On Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
And a good morning to you. Welcome to Community Voices. I'm your host, Ron Holland. The shooting death of Charlotte native and former A&M football player Jonathan Ferrell sparked outrage and protests last year. Ferrell's killer, police officer Randall Couric, was indicted by a second grand jury and will be tried in 2015 for the killing. Couric made his first appearance in court on Thursday and was greeted by protest. The organizer of that protest, civil rights activist John Barnett, founder of True Healing Under God, Thug Ministries, is here to talk about the upcoming trial and the spate of killings and excessive force by police. John, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. As indicated, you organized a march and protest this week. What message were you trying to convey, particularly to the police out there?
Well, we're just trying to send a message that, you know, time is up in reference to America treating us like stepchildren, mm-hmm. bottom line. Yeah. We were totally disturbed by Trayvon Martin's case and the outcome of that. Not only that, Michael Brown, Sean Bell's case, and the list goes on and on. And then most recently, Eric Garner. Mm-hmm. So we have here, we don't have to travel to Ferguson. I drove to Ferguson. I drove to Sanford, Florida. You know, went to New York for Sean Bell's case. And now we don't have to drive anywhere.
Right. You have been all over the map dealing with this issue.
Yes. Civil rights is at an all-time high.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your experience in Ferguson, because obviously there are a lot of protests going on out there.
Yes. It's just like any other neighborhood. You know, the place where Michael Brown died at, I don't want to call them projects, but that's basically what it looked like. It's mm-hmm. a lot of apartments. It's kind of hard for no one to see what happened to Michael Brown on that day. So I'm sure there was witnesses. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to go and capture the spirit of what was going on, mm-hmm. go assist individuals legally if we had to. But more importantly, I wanted to go to the place where Michael Brown died. I got down on the ground, and literally blood was all on the ground still. It was draped with flowers and candles and teddy bears. So it's just something I will never forget, that particular shooting.
Now, Couric will face trial next year for killing Jonathan Ferrell. There's also a civil rights or civil suit looming at the conclusion of the trial. What in your mind will be an acceptable outcome here?
Well, no price on anybody's life is acceptable, but it helps to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And so, our attorney, Christopher Chestnut from Florida, works in collaboration with Mr. Willie Gary. He's actually, Willie Gary is his mentor. Mm-hmm. So if you Google Willie Gary, you'll see that he sued Anheuser-Busch, Walt Disney. I mean, he sued Mickey Mouse. So Mr. Christopher Chestnut is literally under him. And so we're actually suing the city of Charlotte. We're suing the Charlotte McClure Police Department, and we're suing Chief Monroe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, we didn't press the charges mm-hmm. on Mr. Carey. You know, the chief of police did.
Right,
police
that's right.
Did.
So
for us not to get an indictment on the first charge and the police press the charges is like Mike Tyson says, ludicrous, you know?
So it was stunning. It stunned a lot of people.
Yes, but it wasn't stunning enough that I wouldn't rise up and stand in front of that courthouse.
Yeah.
And when we got the second indictment and I heard that they want to have court here in Charlotte, I mobilized close to 300 people mm-hmm. and we stood there and we did prayer. And 6 hours later, we got an indictment. So there, civil rights worked.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, you know, the lawyer, who's a millionaire attorney, literally said, you know, John, we need civil rights. So sometimes when you're fighting cases, not only do you need a lawyer, you need civil rights as well.
That's exactly right. Take us through what happened, the events leading up to Jonathan Ferrell's death.
Well, a couple months ago, we just honored, we actually, not celebrated, but we gave memory to his life. So me and his fiance, Cache Heidel, we went to the place where he was shot. It was my first time there and her first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we released two doves. One dove was for him, and the other dove was for justice.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing thing about doves is why I use the doves, because doves have the unique ability that when you let them go from somewhere or you take them somewhere, they know how to go back to that place.
Right.
So we're trying to bring justice back to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he wrecked his car. I went to the place where he ran in the ditch,
mm-hmm.
Crawled through the back window. Of course, blood was on him. He runs to the elderly white lady's house, and he asks for help. So instead of helping him, she actually called 911, mm-hmm. and that sparked everything.
Yeah.
So you got three cops coming. To my understanding, two was black, one was white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but if me and you see a bear coming our way, I don't think I'm going to be the only one throwing a knife or shooting.
Right.
I think we both would do that at the same time.
Right.
So it's very puzzling to me that, you know, you got two officers watching a white officer just unload, you know, literally on someone.
Now, as I understand it, Kirk was the least experienced officer there.
That's correct. Brand new, slightly new officer, and also had a suspension a couple months ago. He had a one-day suspension. I don't know exactly what it was for, but he was suspended for a full day.
Now, and I want
and keep in mind, I got to let you know this. Darren Wilson, who shot Michael Brown, he came from a police department not far from Ferguson that was literally shut down by the government.
He was able
to be a crooked cop and yet go to another police department in Ferguson, turn in his resume, and they open up their doors to him.
Now, and I want listeners to understand, because when I mentioned that Kerrick was the least experienced, let's be clear, he is still culpable. And some people get that confused. Just because you are not experienced doesn't mean that you're not responsible.
That's
and I think
exactly
that
right.
sort of clouds the conversation here. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the family. How are they coping with all of this?
Well, the family, by God's grace, is very godly. The mother's always saying, you know, John, if you do a rally, your mom wishes is that you do prayer.
Yeah.
That's why we had, you know, we had prayer at the rally.
Mm-hmm.
Just very, but I can see in her eyes, and I have multiple conversations with her. It's just a mother that's just probably would never get over her son's loss. You know, Thanksgiving for her was an empty plate at the table. You know, Christmas is, you know, going to be very empty for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a form of support, you know, I said, Jonathan's not here, but I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, because I lost my brother to a shooting death.
Yeah.
And so we kind of have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes time to heal. But it's even more disappointing that when we call it courtroom shuffle. It's even more disappointing when you can't get an indictment on
right.
someone and obviously pulled the trigger on this individual multiple times.
Yeah, and we're talking 10 times.
Yeah.
A man who
total
was
of 12.
And I have to remind folks, this is a man who was seeking help. Your natural inclination when you see the police is to seek help, particularly
exactly.
when you are the injured party.
Exactly.
And so for Officer Kerrick to unload that way,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's stunning to anybody exactly. with a conscience.
Exactly. And it's scary to think that, you know, the big slash tag, Black Lives Matter. They do matter.
Mm-hmm,
and we're
mm-hmm.
going to make sure that Jonathan Farrell's life matters as well.
Yeah. Now, as the family navigate this process,
mm-hmm.
the jury trial.
Court next year.
Yeah. I mean, this is a long time for justice,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately justice will find its way. But as they navigate this process, are they expecting an outcome to their favor? How are they going to navigate that process if the outcome isn't, you know, the justice that they're looking
yeah.
for?
Well, I think two things that's playing in their favor. Number one, they got probably one of the finest attorneys in the country, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Christopher Chestnut is very skilled in what he does.
Yeah.
Very professional.
Mm-hmm.
The dash cam and the secrets games that that Charlotte is playing. You know, we've been asking for the dash cam for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we was able to see Rodney King get his eye socket beat out,
yeah.
you know, nearly. And so in saying that, we still haven't got the dash cam.
Now, and as I understand it, the dash cam supposedly, and if I remember, the attorney did indicate that dash cam showed that Farrell was actually having his hands up, and he was actually, you can see him asking for help.
That's correct. And you got to realize it was like 1, 2, 3 shots, a pause,
mm-hmm.
you know, 5 shots, a pause, and then like 4 more, you know, it was a total of 12 shots.
Yeah.
So there was time to stop shooting. But there's a fear that I've talked to some officers, you know, they called us the other day for the rally, and they was telling me that, you know, there's a fear that they have, and the stereotypization that goes on through the media as relates to black males is not good. So
yeah.
if I was an elderly white lady in Ballantyne and I seen eerie pictures of, you know, black men robbing stores every day as if no one else robs stores
mm-hmm.
and commits crime, then I'd be a little disturbed as well, and I'd be on the edge.
Yeah.
You know, I had a suit on the other day, and yet an elderly white lady on the elevator at the courthouse clenched her pocketbook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we definitely need to break down that stereotypization.
And I understand that police have a natural fear when they're in particular neighborhoods. But I get the sense that the black community feels a bit occupied by the police department.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point does training kick in? I mean, if there's an imagined fear, at some point, your training, your martial arts training, your training with regard to
mm-hmm.
self-defense, when does all of that kick in here?
Exactly. And it's surprising to me. I think the police tried to say that, you know, we tried to tase Farrell, you know, but I was, you know, telling someone, and I wasn't there that night.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tase someone after they shot as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't put it past anyone, especially as it relates to the police.
Mm-hmm.
I got too many cases under my belt as it relates to police corruption from Gastonia, North Carolina, you know, all the way to Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are some good cops. They mean well. They have an honest heart. They have a family as well. But there are some bad cops that literally get in in that position just to cause havoc. Mm-hmm. You know.
Now, what is what's remarkably different with regard to Eric Garner's case with the grand jury's decision there, as well as what happened in Ferguson with that grand jury, is that a second grand jury actually leveled an indictment here. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that. Probable cause was established by the grand jury. What was different in these cases?
Well, I think, you know, thanks to the attorney general that we had, Roy Cooper, mm-hmm. he saw it fit that, you know, he probably maybe have seen a future riot in Charlotte. You know, I don't know. But I do know that at least he was fair enough to say, okay, the first grand jury, which consists of 18 people, we only had 14. Mm-hmm. So let's make it right. Let's take this back to Charlotte and get the full 18. So at least to a certain extent, he's an honest man in reference to doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the outcome would have been if we not had gotten that. You know, I don't know what Charlotte would have done. Mm-hmm. But I do know that the indictment definitely helps and at least gives us some kind of open window. Mm-hmm. I asked an attorney who works with our organization, attorney Larry Hall in Gastonia. I asked him, I said, in reference to indictment and grand juries, what does grand jury mean? He said, grand jury literally means, John, they actually see you with your hands in the cookie jar.
Wow.
That's what that means.
Wow. Wow.
And I said, so what does that mean for the other party, the opposing party? He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, a fish can only get caught if it opens his mouth. You don't open his mouth, you'll never get caught.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
you notice, the other side has been very quiet. We've been very vocal.
Well, and now the national discussions is centered around how do we extricate the prosecutor out mm-hmm. of that process and bring in special prosecutors.
Exactly.
Any thoughts about that?
Yes, most definitely. I think the prosecutor, looking at the Ferguson case, the very, if not the first or second day, she passed out documents to all the juries, and the documents basically were saying that it's okay to shoot someone if they're running away. Then she retracted that right maybe a couple of days before the verdict and stated that, oh, that's an old policy. Just fold it and put it to the left. That's a policy from 1980. So once you say something or you give someone something, it's pretty much kind of in your head. First impression is the last impression.
Right.
And
right.
I think that stuck in their heads, you know, that it was okay. Michael Brown got shot. And then after he got shot, he was shot in the eyeball. People got to understand that.
Yeah.
It's a very graphic shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened.
Well, I am particularly proud of the young folks that are standing up mm-hmm. all around the country.
Black and white.
Yeah. Black and white. And this has impacted folks around the globe.
Yes,
now.
Exactly. I got a picture from, people send me all kind of silver. I got pictures of, you know, Rosa Parks, rare pictures of Marion Barry. But I've gotten two interesting pictures. I got one from Paris. Mm-hmm. They're actually protesting and they got hands up, don't shoot, in front of the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Wow.
I got one from Tibet where they got their hands up mm-hmm. saying don't shoot. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's definitely across the country. And, you know, something that Minister Farrakhan said after the Myanmar March, he said after the Myanmar March, he got calls from world leaders across the country and they had said, we did not know that black men were going through so much in their country.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's something to think about.
Do you think that this will be a sustained movement?
Yes, I think it will. I'm going to tell you why it will be sustained. Because I believe that the shootings will not stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless we do something about it.
Profound photograph
exactly.
with monks actually holding up a sign saying,
it actually says from Tibet, it says, hands up, don't shoot.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That means
justice
that,
for Mike Brown.
Right. And that means that this movement has touched a chord with people. Mm-hmm. And I hate to suggest this, but oppressed people around the world mm-hmm. can identify with what we are experiencing here in the United States.
You're exactly right. And oppression comes in various ways.
Right.
You know, in South Africa, it may be controlling of money and Sierra Leone, it may be controlling of diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently here, it's really based off race.
Mm-hmm.
It's based off stereotypization.
Yeah. Now, Reverend Sharpton has indicated that there ought to be a legislative response to mm-hmm. this. Do you think that there are going to be efforts underway to start pushing Congress to do something more about this?
Yes, but it's at a very snail pace because mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised the Justice Department, you know, they say they're going to do a civil rights investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever they've done, I haven't seen much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and they may be making some progress.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have it. They're investigating apparently Trayvon Martin's case. But I haven't heard anything in reference to the civil case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think the Department of Justice definitely needs to step up, you know, a little more aggressively.
Especially as these cases recede from the headlines. It appears to me that as long as it's in the headlines, mm-hmm. folks who are in power are going to do some movement. Mm-hmm. But once it recedes, folks are real quiet about it. Just have a couple of more minutes.
Okay.
Any additional demonstrations planned in Charlotte?
Yes, we're going to continue to march and continue to protest and mm-hmm. continue to initiate demonstrations if this particular officer is not charged. It's imperative that we be persistent. There was a lot of, I call them popcorn activists. You know, and I'm just saying that out of love because, you know, I've been doing this 12 years. Mm-hmm. Reverend Sharpton trained and taught me. I've been blessed to, you know, learn from him. Mm-hmm. And we've been full time since 2008. When mm-hmm. President Barack Obama put his briefcase down in the White House, I picked mine up and left my job mm-hmm. and started fighting civil rights. So you'll find, you know, college students and individuals that will initiate a couple of marches and demonstrations. But I would ask that if they are doing that, I commend them. Yeah. But I want to see what they're doing a year from now.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a very provocative question. Now, you know, you're on social networking platforms like Facebook and Twitter and all of that, and there are a bevy of videos of police either engaging in excessive force or there's a killing involved, and folks are filming this action taking place. Mm-hmm. And I get the sense, because you can hear it in the voices of the people who are filming this, mm-hmm. that they are becoming a lot more outraged. And do you think or suspect that there's going to be some intervention on the part of the people who are actually seeing this unfold?
Yes, I do. I think it's going to, and that's where I think change is going to come, mm-hmm. you know, for those that's actually seeing, you know, all of these experiences. And hopefully, you know, change will come soon.
Yeah, yeah.
It needs to come soon because, you know, the fear in this country, just because a young black man has a hoodie on,
does not
mean he's a threat. And what happens is, what's visualized across the country affects me and you.
That's exactly right. And the conversation that we have to have with our children, I mean, I almost find it an insult that we are required to have that, quote, conversation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any thoughts about that as we close out?
Yes, I think it's very important that, you know, any wise lion in Africa is going to train, you know, its offspring exactly how to fight.
Yeah.
And how to deal with the jungle.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so America is a beautiful place, but for some, it's a jungle. And I think it's imperative that we teach our kids at home, you know, how to respond to the police, mm-hmm. how to deal with certain issues going on in our community.
Yeah.
But not only that, to deal with life. I mean, you know, in New York City, if, to my understanding, I think the Jews or either the Italians have something called Saturday schools where they deprogram what's been taught all week and say, look, here, this is your custom. These are your this is your culture. And this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that on Saturday morning, you know, our black boys, our young black girls wake up and learn that they need to pull up their pants.
Yeah,
that they need to, you know, get those gold teeth out of their mouth.
Right.
You know, because Lil Wayne gets paid for that $130 million. You know, you don't have 130 cents in your pocket or $130.
Right.
So in saying that, I think it's imperative that we definitely go back to 1980 when life was good. Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson's Thriller was on the radio. We was eating watermelon, spitting out seeds and playing hopscotch and, you know, merry-go-round. And now it's sitting in the house all day playing PlayStation and listening to rap music on YouTube. And we got to do better.
Yeah.
Our community must do better.
Yeah. And as we are fighting black-on-black crime and dealing with some of the things that plagues our community, mm-hmm. We can also fight excessive force and police brutality mm-hmm. and police unjustified police killings in our community.
Exactly right.
Absolutely. Well, John Barnett, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you as
Absolutely.
Well.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. As I close out, I want to hit on a couple of things that are critical to this discussion. There is an effort underway to undermine the clarion call for police officers around the country to wear body cams, or citizens exercising their rights to film police during their interaction with the public. Apparently, the legislature in Illinois passed a bill making it illegal for citizens to video record police during interactions with the public, especially those interactions that capture mistreatment, abuse, and excessive force. I think it was called the Senate bill. I think it's 1342 was introduced back on December 2nd and would effectively make it a class 3 felony for unlawfully, and I'm using quotes here, unlawfully recording or, quote, eavesdropping on police. I want you to hear that. I want that to resonate. I want it to go down in your spirit. They are making it illegal for you, even if you're traveling through, and now this is exclusive to Illinois, but even if you're traveling through Illinois and there is some interaction, they are making it illegal for the citizens of this country, specifically in Illinois, to capture on video police interaction with citizens.
Class 3 felony. This is fallacious. This is despicable. This is a violation of your rights as a citizen of this country. Now, as I said, so far it's exclusive to Illinois, but let me be clear, my friends. There will be a nationwide effort with the backing of police unions and folks who are sympathetic to police to launch this anti-citizen campaign. You have a right to video record police and their interaction with the public. They are public servants. You are taxpayers. You are paying their salary through your tax dollars. You have a right to video record police officers and their interaction with the public. And let me make this clear and plain, because I suspect that there will be Republican legislatures around the country who will mount this kind of effort to stave off the absolute critical analysis of police interaction with the public. They will do anything possible to make it impossible for you to get justice in this country. This is despicable to me, reprehensible, that there could be elected officials who would do this to a citizenry who is already reeling from the spate of killings of unarmed black men in this country. There needs to be accountability, and the way to do that, there's a bevy of ways, but one of the ways to do it is to make sure that our interactions are captured by the police with body cams and by the public, using our full citizenry as a constitutional right to do that. So as we engage our local, our state, and federal officials to alleviate the conflicts inherent between local and state prosecutors and the police department, we need to have tunnel-like vision in ensuring that our rights as a citizenry is preserved and protected. We perhaps may never rid ourselves of the antiquated grand jury system, but we can create an environment, perhaps legislatively, to ensure that in every instance of a killing or use of excessive force or police brutality is handled by special prosecutors who are not intricately tied to the local and state police departments. We have to fight here. The killing of unarmed black men by police demand that an independent investigatory body, namely a special prosecutor, is brought in and they are able to mount a fair but critical look at all the evidence and all of the witnesses. And if there is to be grand jury proceedings where police face indictment and perhaps are called in front of a grand jury, it should be a robust adversarial cross-examination of that officer. That's what we ought to demand. Body cams and change of our grand jury system. These cases, Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, and a slew of other people, unarmed black men in this country, they demand justice. And the way to achieve that is to make sure that every interaction is captured and that we extricate the local prosecutor from the grand jury system and allow special prosecutors to come in and robustly defend our rights as a citizen of these United States of America.
We're going to close out now. I want to again thank civil rights activist John Barnett for coming on this morning and sharing his thoughts and perspective about the case against Randall Kerrick, the officer that killed Jonathan Farrell. Certainly his perspective and his view about the unjustified killing of this young unarmed black man is certainly valued, particularly here in the city. And it just indicates that this is also happening. Police killing of unarmed black men is not exclusive to any part of the country, but but it's everywhere in these United States. And certainly his perspective is an integral part of the conversation that we are having in this country. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website, as well as our Old School 105.3 website. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We will talk with you next week.